like to invite you this morning to read God's Word with me in the book of Job. Book of Job, chapter 33. While you're finding this place in the Scripture, I am sure that all of you are familiar with the story of Job and his patience and his sufferings. You know, even a person like Job finally gets to the point to where they just don't know what to do. He had some men that he called friends. Sometimes we wonder as we read the scripture about Job whether or not they were his friends. But anyway, one of them was talking to him in the place where I'm going to be reading here this morning. And I'm going to read verses 14 through 18 of this chapter 33. And then we will give you a message upon this as a text. Beginning in verse 14. For God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he opened the ears of men. He sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from him. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. Now, the title of my message this morning is God's Method of Saving Sinners. Never changes. No matter what age you are, you have heard, or if you haven't, you will. You'll hear about the olden days. For you see, every generation tells the generation behind it how it used to be. It's never as bad in this generation behind as it was for those now. You remember the stories. How that we had to walk so many miles to school. Now they make them run buses. Everybody's going. You see, we had it tough, didn't we? That's the way it is with every generation. They have something to tell the other generation how things have changed. Some people call it the good old days. But some of the days were not so good. But there is good and there is bad in all times. Sometimes I hope we can see the good. Though the past has its charms, the old stories have a special interest. The present still has the same. But there are some things that has no difference no matter what age it is in. Whether it's in the past or in the present. Such as in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, where God says, I am God and I change not. I don't change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. What I want to talk to you about is that salvation of sinners never changes. It started from the beginning of humanity and still is today by God's grace. Are you saved? And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works, least any man should boast. And I want to show to you this morning that whether it is in ancient times or in modern times, it's still the same. You see, Job is believed by many to be the oldest book in the Bible. As we look at this account that I have read to you this morning, we will see that God saved them like He does us now. Elihu, I believe it was, that was talking to Job, supposedly a friend, tells of God's dealings with man. And I assure you that He still deals with man the same today. I hope you will keep your Bibles open. I'm going to point out a few things in these scriptures as I refer back to them as we go along. Why is it that salvation of sinners never changes? Because the subjects never change. You see, the people in the days of Job were just like us. They were sinners. They were people with a depraved nature. They were people just like they are today that did not seek after God, as the Bible tells us. The Word of God does not tell us a lot of the things about man, but as far as their spiritual condition, they were the same in Job's time as they are in our time. We notice as we read these scriptures that they were dead to God's word. In verse 14, he said, "For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man receiveth it not." God has spoken in audible voices in times of past, but He is still speaking through the voices of His instruments today.
But whether it was the voice of God that came down out of heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," or whether it is me quoting it, is still God's word. It is His message to us. The people purpose to do evil and were puffed up about it with pride. And they still are today. Verse 17, I read that He may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from him. In other words, He's saying that God does this. He withdraws man from his purpose. Now, you've heard the saying, and you've heard me kind of criticize it. How people of modern days say, "Well, you know, I found the Lord when I was 7 years old." You wasn't looking for the Lord. Now, He may have found you, but you wasn't even looking. The Bible says there is none that seeketh after God. That's the way it was in the days of Job. They were not seeking after God. God used the means He desired to get them away from their purpose and to put down their pride. Man is too proud to bow to the grace of God. These people in the days of Job and people of today needed something to bring them to the point that they would cry out for mercy. They were sinners, just like we are. But you know what? Just like people today, they thought they were all right. Everything's okay. All you got to do is turn on your radio or your television and you can learn fast that everybody's going to heaven. Oh, they may be propped up by the jukebox, but they're all going to heaven. Listen, that's man's philosophy and imagination. They think no matter what goes on in the world, what they do in the world, that God is going to come and find some good in them and take them to glory. That's pride. Man is so far gone, it takes a divine act from God for him to be saved. Listen to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. It says that what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Go back and when you have time and read the context of that verse of Scripture. You will find out that It took the same power that it took when God reached down in the grave and brought His Son out of the grave.
It takes the same power to bring him from spiritual death to spiritual life and save your soul. It's not under your power. It's under God. Salvation does not come to man because of his actions. It comes because of the actions of God.
If you'll notice in the scripture I read, everything that happens was of God. Nothing by man. That's grace.
And then you can be assured that it has never changed. The method of saving sinners have never changed because God hasn't changed. Our text said, all these things God worketh.
Let me carry your mind back to Adam and Eve. And you know the story. You know how they disobeyed God and ate the forbidden fruit, and how that God came and then cast them out of the garden.
Because their fig leaves was no good.
They were trying to hide their guilt from God.
But all the works of man cannot hide his guilt.
That's right. Amen.
And God, not Adam, not Eve, but God Himself killed animals
and brought the skin and clothed Adam and Eve.
He did not bring the skins to them that they might clothe themselves.
He said, God clothed them.
This is the only way that the guilt of sin can be removed, is when God clothes us
by the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ. God never changes.
God changes the purpose of man.
And humbles our heart. No matter what age it is, God makes us willing in the day of His power. He brings the truth about the condition that we're in and makes us realize where we stand. Will spend eternity in that condition.
He points us to the cross of Calvary,
where Christ died for the sins of many. This text shows us that God comes to man, not man coming to God.
It has always been that way because God never changes.
He came to Adam and Eve He comes to everyone that is born again by the Spirit. He came to Adam, he came to Noah, he came to Abraham, he came to Moses. Same all the way through the New Testament. Brother Roger Doerr signed me a message. The theme of his conference is on the Apostle Paul. He assigned me to preach on his meeting Christ on the Damascus Road. I want to assure you that Paul wasn't looking for Christ. But Christ was looking for people. He also, Jesus told Peter in Matthew 16, he said, Simon, flesh and blood has not revealed to you that I'm the Christ. But my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed. And I want to tell you this morning that you will never know Christ until God reveals Christ to you. Because you're not looking for it. Then salvation never changes. Salvation of a sinner never changes. The way God comes to people. There is a difference in outward agents, but the results are still the same. God walked with man in a physical form. He talked to him in an audible voice. He appeared to Moses in a burning bush and spoke to him in an audible voice. To some, he appeared in vision. To others, in the word. In the days of Christ, many saw miracles and believed. But you can also look back and you can find that everyone that saw miracles didn't believe. Only some. Not all dreams that were dreams were of God. Today, God uses the gospel. We preach Christ and Him crucified. We preach that He died on Calvary's cross many years ago and atoned for the sins of all those that will believe. But all we preach to will not believe. Therefore, no matter what the means is, it all comes back to the power of God to make the soul alive. It takes the power of God to make me or you or anyone else see their need of Christ. Will it be a dream of old? Careful in the days of Christ.
gospel today. It's always God that makes them alive. You see, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. He said to them, "You have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." You have he quickened. He has made you alive. No matter the instrument, spiritual resurrection of our souls is from the power of God. Then last, God's work in salvation always accomplishes the same. Regardless of the age, God accomplishes what he wants. God has never failed. The Bible says that Christ came to seek and save that which was lost. He didn't say he came to seek and save those that are lost. But he came to seek and save that which was lost. You see, God had his heart set on a people before the foundation of the world. They were lost in that. And I want to assure you this morning that everyone that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save, he will do it. You say, "Well, preacher, I thought everybody could be saved. Everybody could, but they didn't." But if Jesus Christ does not get those he came to seek and to save, he is a failure. He wasn't able to do what he came to do. But I want to assure you, he is not a failure.
Amen.
God never fails. He will happen. Pharaoh will let them go. Satan will let them go. Because God's power is stronger than them all. We are sinners. We intend to live in sin, every one of us. That was our intention. For there is none righteous, no, not one. But God takes away our pride when he humbles us in our condition of sin. He shows us that we cannot accomplish this by our efforts. Then God shows us that our only hope in Christ alone. Not in the church. Not in the preacher. Not in the organization. Not in denominations. Not in any of the old saints. But Christ alone is your only hope. It was Christ alone in the covering of Adam and Eve. It was Christ alone that called Abraham to look for that city whose builder and maker was God. It was Christ alone that those in Hebrew chapter 11, the chapter of faith, it was Christ alone they looked to. It is Christ alone for you today. If you're here without Him this morning, I beseech you by the Word of God that you believe in Jesus Christ, dying for your sins. And if God is gracious enough to you to open up your heart and mind that you can believe in Jesus, I plead that you come and tell the world. He said, confess me before men. I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. Would you stand, please? I'm going to ask our song leader and our musicians to come. We're going to offer an invitation. Not an invitation for you to perform some work, because salvation is by grace. An invitation that if God has dealt with your heart this morning, if you feel the burden of sin, if you feel your need for Christ, He's come to you today. Come, take a stand with Him before the world. Say, yes, I believe that Jesus died for me. I want to be baptized. I want the world to know it. It will not happen to your enemies. It will happen to the Spirit. He'll give you desire. What number will we sing?
Page 140.
We sing a couple of verses of this song. It shouldn't take long. We don't have a long, drawn-out event. Either God's dealing with you or He's not. So we're going to sing just a couple of verses. If you need to come for any reason, if you're already a child of God, you need to come for some reason to ask for prayer, to publicly dedicate your life to Christ, whatever God would lay up on your heart, you come as we sing.